Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back. Michael Cohen, producer Andre Holgate. Thanks for joining us. Feedback. Send us feedback, please. Email address ccrecap@gmail.com. Let us know what you think of the program. Well, with Michigan's gas prices now hovering just under $4 a gallon, that is the statewide average, it seems that the end of summer driving season will be a pricey one if you are taking your last weekend trips this month up north, or maybe you're heading elsewhere. But now that we've seen this spike of last week of 39 cents from the week before, and that was due to problems at three Midwest refineries, what are the larger dynamics that will be affecting gas prices for the rest of the year? To discuss that, I'm joined by Mike Briard, a gas and oil analyst with Hodges Capital. That's deep down in the heart of Texas. Mike, thanks for joining us on WILS.
Well, thanks for having me.
So, you know, when you look at the long term, at least over the last, what, 5-6 years or so, the gas story isn't that interesting, is it? It's been ranging between $3 and $4 or so?
Well, it always fluctuates some, but it, if you recall, several years ago, oil got up to around $140 a barrel, and gasoline prices went up quite a bit then.
So, look, what we had was we had gas prices not too long ago at $1 to $2, somewhere in that range. And then suddenly in 2005, we just got this whole new reality, $3 to $4 range. What happened there?
Well, you had general inflation for one thing, and then something that's been going on for a number of years, the Chinese and the people in India have been using more and more energy. So the price of oil has gradually increased over the last few years just because of the big demand for energy over there, in, particularly in India and China.
$5 a gallon gasoline here in the U.S., we've heard about it, we've been worried about it. When is that going to happen?
Well, gasoline prices got high in the spring when people were worried about the Middle East, Iran blocking the Straits of Hormuz. And then that kind of subsided, and people started worrying about what was happening with the banks in Europe. And people thought that would reduce oil demand, so the price of oil dropped from about 105 down below 80, and that caused gasoline prices to drop. Now the people in Europe have kind of kicked their problem down the road, just like we do here in the U.S., and the Iranians have shot off some rockets, and we sank a boat from Dubai a couple of weeks ago, so, and the situation in Syria, so people are starting to worry about the Middle East again. And then you have specific problems like the pipeline break there in Wisconsin and the refinery fire in California.
But just to confirm then, gas prices inevitably will be going up at some point, right? I mean, we're going to see $5 a gallon gas sooner than later, or maybe in the next several years?
Yes, for two reasons. One, as I say, the increased demand in areas overseas. I saw a number last year that of the new cars bought in China, 75% were bought by people that had never owned a car before. And then the cost of finding oil keeps going up. If you're drilling in 10,000 feet of water, it's extremely, well, there it can cost you $100 million. And then if you're fracking the rock in North Dakota, that's very expensive. And the oil sands in Canada are very expensive to produce. So the easy oil has been found around the world, and now we're looking for more expensive oil.
I'm talking to Mike Briard, a gas and oil analyst with Hodges Capital. So, Mike, the spike we had here in Michigan last week, it was due to these problems at some Midwest refineries. But isn't that a known problem, the lack of refinery capacity in the U.S.? And aren't we in a situation now when any unexpected shutdown of a refinery will always lead to a price spike?
Yes, there's some. Well, first of all, the main problem is, of course, summer is the major driving season. So pipeline or refinery problems are particularly bad during the summer in terms of how they affect prices. But there haven't been any new refineries built in the U.S. in something like 30 years. And
tell me, why is that? Some have even said that oil companies have a real financial incentive in keeping capacity right on the edge.
Well, partly it's for environmental reasons. It's just hard to get approval to build a new refinery. And then lately, the government, of course, is talking about raising the fuel efficiency of cars to over 50 miles per gallon and talking about electric cars and natural gas-powered cars. And you'd hate to spend $2 billion on a refinery and find out you can't sell your gasoline.
Tell me, what would you say explains these record profits we keep seeing from the oil companies year after year?
They are record profits in total, but not in percentage. The percentage profit margin of an oil company is maybe 5%, where a high-tech company might have a 30-40% profit margin. So it's just the fact that Exxon and companies like that are just huge companies with tremendous revenues, but they really don't make that much money per barrel or per gallon.
Where does most of their money go, then? I mean, are they basically building up their infrastructure in terms of...
Well, they're spending billions of dollars to search for new oil. You know, the oil in the ground, the typical oil well production from it declines about 5% a year, some more than that. So if you don't continue to drill for new oil, pretty soon your production is going to drop substantially. Mexico, for example, was a big exporter of oil several years ago, and they may be an importer fairly soon if they don't do more drilling, because one of their major fields has declined in production substantially. And even here in the U.S., you've got a lot of new production coming out of North Dakota and Texas, but the Prudhoe Bay oil field in Alaska, has production from that has dropped something like over a million barrels a day down to somewhere around 500,000 or less.
Well, you know, oil is now, what, $93 a barrel? It's certainly been much higher. What would you say is keeping that price under control at the moment?
Well, it's a worldwide market. When somebody does something in Syria, the price goes up, or in Iran, the price goes up. When a bank in Greece fails, the price goes down a little bit. It's just there's so many cross currents in the world nowadays. You know, there's always something happening that affects the oil and gas or the oil price. And then the two main things is more people using it. The per capita consumption in China and India is about where it was in the U.S. 100 years ago.
Some might be surprised that oil is not more expensive right now.
Well, it's probably cheaper than Starbucks coffee.
Certainly so. tell me, when you look at our oil needs, our energy needs, and the factors that could potentially spike these prices, what is most concerning to you, and what do you see as the most immediate threat to oil prices and gas prices going up dramatically and suddenly?
Well, the people that run Iran, in my opinion, are irrational in terms of the Western thinking. And if the Israelis decide that they're going to produce a bomb, and if they produce a bomb, they're going to use it, then you could see some flare-up in the Middle East, and Iran would try to halt the tankers that are going through the Straits of Hormuz, and that would cause an immediate spike in oil prices.
Okay, now take me through it. So let's say the Iranians move to block the Straits. I'm guessing the U.S. military would step in as quickly as possible to unblock it. But if that happens for even, let's say, several days, what kind of a spike in gas prices would we likely see?
Oh, maybe 50 cents. I mean, it could go up dramatically. Now the U.S. military certainly could unblock the Straits, but you have other factors there. The people that own the oil tankers, they would want to have their insurance rates would go up substantially, because they would be traveling through a war zone. So, just the cost of transporting the oil would go up, and that would raise prices.
So essentially, we're talking about $5 gas. That's something we'd certainly be looking at if there was, in fact, a war involving Iran and they made any move into the Straits there.
Yes, that could happen pretty quickly. But, you know, we've lived with that threat for years now. There's always some threat overseas. And the best thing we can do is to open our land here in the U.S. and do more drilling and increase our own oil production.
Well, tell me, give me a sense of it, because I know we get so much oil from the Middle East and from other regions in the world. How much of that could we really replace if we were to start drilling here in the U.S. and trying, if we were trying to rely on domestic oil?
Well, you do two things. One, you couldn't replace very much right away because, of course, you'd have to drill the wells and build the pipelines and all that. But it would send a message to the people overseas that, you know, you better be careful how high you raise the price because you could be selling a lot less oil.
Well, let's go with, give me a sense of how much oil we currently get from places like Saudi Arabia. And if even if we had our infrastructure in place, how much of that oil could we replace from domestic sources?
We get well from countries in the Middle East and Venezuela, which is not exactly a friend of ours. I'm guessing about a third would come from, say, unfriendly sources. Now, it's you can't look at just those numbers, though. If we get very little oil from Libya, but in a refinery in Italy was using 200,000 barrels a day of Libyan crude, when that Libyan production shut down, they would have to go someplace else to buy that oil. Hmm. And if they bought it from West Africa, that would remove that West African oil from being exported to the U.S. So it is a worldwide market.
So we've been in the $3-4 range, 7 years or so? Is that fairly accurate?
Yes, it does vary quite a bit.
But in the sense of what, are we not ranging in that zone of 3 to 4? Maybe we peak a little above 4 once in a great while?
Yeah. And
but I guess we 30 seconds left, but tell me, in terms of looking ahead the next 5 years, are we going to likely still be within this range?
We'll be in the range, at the high end of the range or a little above it, assuming there's no foreign instances because of the increased demand for oil around the world.
Mike Briard, a gas and oil analyst with Hodges Capital in the heart of Texas. Mike, thank you so much for joining us on WILS this evening.
Okay, thank you.
Well, we're wrapping it up. I want to thank my producer, Andre Holgate. I want to thank you for listening. Feedback again, ccrecap@gmail.com. Send us a line. Let us know what you think. And of course, as always, you can check out all the interviews on our website, 1320wils.com. All kinds of interesting news pieces on the site in general. We had Josh Romney on the program to start things off. If you missed that interview, you can check it out online. Talked about his dad's efforts. Josh was here in Michigan today. So we are back as usual tomorrow at 6 p.m. Please join us then to wrap the week up. Otherwise, have a good evening. Good night.